This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And good afternoon. I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got partly sunny skies, partly cloudy skies this afternoon. A high of 79. It's 79 right now at O'Hare, 75 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco and Chris, the Dow higher by 175 points, or 0.2%, and the benchmark's at 25,482. NASDAQ up almost 1% now, or 68 points, and the S&P gaining 20 points at 2822, up 0.75%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by more than 1%. They're talking about resuming trade talks. Bloomberg News reports U.S. and Chinese officials are looking for ways to re-engage in negotiations. Talks broke off after the Trump administration imposed tariffs on $34 billion in Chinese imports this month. Now, the next wave of tariffs kicks in at midnight on $16 billion in Chinese goods. Trade tensions may have held back spending on pricey durable goods like appliances in June, but spending on services rebounded. The Commerce Department reports consumer spending increased in June by 0.4%, fueled by incomes that grew to match. It is the fourth straight month of spending growth. We'll be hearing from Apple after the bell. Analysts see a lot riding on the company's second quarter report. We've had 3 days of sharp losses triggered by Facebook and Twitter's user growth issues. But today, tech is making something of a comeback. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the possibility of new talks on trade and the White House pushing a tax break for capital gains.
And also, Travel Tuesday, why traveling to Europe may be best in August. And is the retail apocalypse finally over? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Prices of some consumer staples are going up thanks to higher commodity costs, shipping expenses, also foreign exchange rates. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, there's a report the U.S. and China are set to restart trade talks. While several key reports are out today, we're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Carl, welcome back to the show. What do you make of the fact that the U.S. and China may be talking trade?
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me back on the program. I think this is an encouraging prospect given the recent track record where we see a detente appearing to be announced with our European trade counterparts, some progress being made on the NAFTA front. And now it looks like perhaps maybe the worst has passed for the China trade standoff as well. So, as we think about the bigger picture, there are certainly core issues that need to be resolved, like intellectual property threat and unfair trade arrangements. But nonetheless, if we're moving in the direction of fewer tariffs, that increases economic efficiency and in the long term will be good for the economy. So I'm happy to see these latest developments.
Yeah, interesting. Now, I'm not asking you this for any sort of political analysis or anything, but if indeed we do make progress in Europe and China and maybe even with Mexico and Canada, it might show that the tougher tactics, the language and all of that actually work to accomplish some of the things that will actually make our economy better.
Absolutely. So it seems like maybe one step backward to take two steps forward, and we're moving in an encouraging direction, to be sure.
Here's another topic at the White House. The Trump administration weighing $100 billion tax break for capital gains and possibly able to get it through without going to Congress. What do you think, Carl?
Well, I think that the Congress won't be too happy to see that kind of activity taking place. And already yesterday, we saw an announcement from the Treasury Department that they'll have to be issuing more debt than they originally anticipated to help to pay for all of the tax cuts we instituted at the start of the year. So any signs that we're moving further in that direction will not be welcome developments in terms of financial markets. I love a good tax cut as much as the next guy. However, ultimately, if you're borrowing to finance these tax cuts, that's an unsustainable trajectory.
So the $100 billion tax break, you think, is not going to make it?
I think that there's going to be, this may be some gamesmanship ahead of the midterm elections, but I don't think it will ultimately make it through. I think fiscal conservatives will find that to be a difficult pill to swallow.
We're seeing worker pay heading up. Talk about some of the positives and negatives for the economy of higher wages.
Sure. So earlier today, we saw the second quarter employment cost index, and it was softer than economists were anticipating. Nonetheless, if we zoom back, as macroeconomists are wont to do, and look at the longer-term trend, we do see a steady upward chug in that data, certainly not a dramatic overheating by any means. And so this is kind of the sweet spot for the economy, or the Goldilocks scenario, where workers are seeing moderately higher paychecks, but labor costs are not increasing to such a degree that either employers are stuck in the lurch or the Fed has to slam on the brake pedal. And so this is an encouraging development that we're finally getting to that point in an economic cycle where the economy basically gets a second wind due to slightly better job prospects in the labor market. And I think that's a positive omen for the second half of the year and evidence that this economy really doesn't need an additional tax cut, going back to your prior topic.
And you believe that the Fed would agree with that?
Yes. We'll hear from the Fed tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., and I suspect they'll acknowledge this very strong economic performance we saw in the second quarter, but also cast some caution to the notion that that type of activity will continue into the back half of the year or even beyond. We saw 4.1% growth in Q2. That's not sustainable. So we can probably grow faster than what's been the trend over the last couple of years, but it's not going to be a 4% type of number, and the Fed will acknowledge as much.
Carl Riccadonna, thanks for joining us, Chief U.S. Economist at Bloomberg. Up next, you'll be paying more at the grocery store for some everyday products.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Consumer giant Procter & Gamble has announced it's raising prices on some popular items. Let's learn more from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, so tell us, what exactly is P&G doing here? What products are going up?
Well, Cisco, initially what we're seeing is Pampers, Charmin, Puffs, probably their Gillette razor blades are going to go up. Basically, they're saying on average 5% more of an increase. Now, what the reason is that they're saying is it's a combination of their costs. Certainly, we've got higher transportation costs, and we haven't even seen any effect on their business yet with all the tariffs that are taking place. And again, keep in mind, I don't know where the steel is coming that Gillette razors use, whether it's U.S. steel or an import, but certainly, that's going to have an effect if it's imported steel as well.
So if it's not simply tariffs or only tariffs, does that mean these price increases are probably going to stick around, even if the tariffs go away and deals are struck?
Absolutely. And part of the reason is P&G's bottom line has not been doing well because a lot of their products, whether it's Bounty paper towels or Charmin or razor blades, are really being attacked by the store brands, the private labels. So their profits are down. So it's a combination of raw material cost going up as well as profits down that they're trying to keep their stockholders happy. But the reality is that I think we're going to see not only from them but just about every company, prices going up.
And if it's industry-wide like that, are we going to see the prices go up and down as the White House likes and doesn't like what's on the table?
Well, Chris, you hit it right on the nail on the head. We're in a very volatile market right now because of the administration, because of these willy-nilly things that they go out on Twitter all the time, and we're really seeing, you know, prices being affected by that and company profits being affected. Keep in mind, the other thing that we've got going on is the rise of the minimum wage taking place. So a lot of the labor that goes into making these products are at minimum wage. So now all of a sudden that's gone up $2, $3, $4 an hour, and the money has to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, it's going to come from you and I when we go to the supermarket.
You see this affecting the general economy?
Yes. Certainly when we look at the stockpiles that we're seeing in food, the effect on soybeans, the effect on wheat, what the tariffs are doing, the NAFTA problem that we've got with Mexico and Canada. Keep in mind that a lot of our ground beef, you know, comes from Mexico. The cows are birthed here. They're sent to Mexico to be raised and then up to Canada to be slaughtered and packaged. You know, that whole system is going to be greatly affected by what the administration makes with their next deal. And we just don't know. It could be the price of ground beef is going to go up 20-30%.
Another chance. Thanks so much. Phil Lemper joining us, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in L.A. We have another chance for you to win $1,000 just around the corner. And still ahead, Travel Tuesday, the month of August, a great time to head to Europe.
Business news sponsored by Kaler Luggage. And here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, we have gains across the board. The Dow up 166 points, or 0.2%. NASDAQ on the rise by 56, or 0.75%. S&P gaining 18. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up almost 1%. MoviePass is imposing limits on its unlimited movie passes to slow the cash burn that burned through all of its cash last week. And so access to blockbuster films on opening weekends will be limited, and the standard pricing plan is increasing from $10 to $15 a month. Crude oil futures are lower by 1.5%, right at $69 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had higher prices across the board in the grains. Corn was up as much as 7 early. We still have December up 3 at 384 and a quarter. Beans were up as much as 29. We still have November beans up 22 at 913, and wheat was up as much as 17. Wheat for September up a penny at 547 and a quarter. Higher across the board, led by the soybeans. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground today. We'll see what's boosting the markets.
Travel Tuesday, it's the best time of the summer to find deals on flights to Europe.
Some analysts believe brick-and-mortar retail may be on a comeback trail.
The Wisconsin tax holiday for back-to-school shoppers draws reaction from people here in Chicago.
Jury selection is underway at the trial of former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up about 167, the NASDAQ up 52, and the S&P 500 up by 17.
Partly sunny in Chicagoland, still lots of clouds in some areas, though. High right up about 80 degrees. That's where we are now, 79 O'Hare, 78 Midway, 77 degrees along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Markets are higher this hour. We are joined by Paul Nolte, a portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, give us what do you think is happening on Wall Street today? Why are we seeing the prices higher?
Well, welcome to Turnaround Tuesday. And I think some of it has to do with discussions that there may be some talks going on, or maybe there will be talks going on between the U.S. and China in trying to resolve some of the trade issues. That got reported early on today, and the markets have come up from those early levels. And again, I think it's a buying in general after a big sell-off in the technology sector for the last 3 days or so. And some investors are using it as a buying opportunity here and pushing stocks higher.
Did you see the advisory from Morgan Stanley today saying that the drops in some technology stocks this month is evidence that the stock market is going to go lower and that there is going to be a sell-off?
We are entering with tomorrow's changing of the calendar, the seasonally weaker part of the year. August and September and even into October tend to be weak, and especially during midterm election cycles. Right now, though, if you take a look at the market internals, the number of advancing to declining stocks and overall volumes, most of the issues are still doing very well and are you're seeing on up days like today, a lot more stocks up than down. And even on the declines of the last couple days, we did have more stocks down than up, but not to the extent that you would expect with the type of sell-off that we had.
Let's talk about one specific stock, Apple, expected to, well, planning to report after the bell today. Some of the FANG stocks really getting hammered. Do we expect Apple to get hammered as well?
Apple, I don't think so. They have generally reported pretty good earnings historically above expectations. The stock has generally performed pretty well coming out of earnings season. And it's one that we take a look at that is more in line with consumer stocks, consumer staples, actually. The valuation on Apple is pretty reasonable, good dividend, very good cash flow, and it's hard to get away from the Apple ecosystem to break away to something else. So it's something that we see pretty good consistency with.
Yeah, you talked about their ecosystem. That's something where even though iPhone X sales maybe not exactly what they were looking for, at some point people do have to turn in those old iPhones if they want to stay in the ecosystem.
No, that's true. And, you know, it's similar, the analogy I would make would be to Microsoft. You know, they have shifted away from the operating system. They still have it. Everybody uses it. But they're now a lot more cloud-based and cloud-focused, and that's where a lot of their profits are coming from. Apple is experiencing that same type of a transition.
Taking into view the market and the economy and what we're getting out of that right now, where would you tell investors who want to look for something that may be winning, where would you send them?
Right now, we still like the U.S. market in general. We do still like the technology, maybe a little bit away from the FANG stocks. If you go down to the mid and small cap technology area, there's some good value that's there. And from a longer term perspective, I think the international market still provides some good value, and especially if we get some type of a trade deal here with Europe as well as with China, we could see the international markets doing very well. They've taken it on the chin here the last couple months or so, but I think they're in very good position and much cheaper than the U.S. markets.
We are also looking at information today about stock buybacks, and apparently people are getting interested in these right now.
It's true, and that one of the main reasons for it is the cash flow that a lot of these companies have been generating. And a lot of companies are having problems doing something with that cash. A lot of times they'll return it to shareholders in the way of dividends or reinvest it in the business or new plant equipment. And one of the problems with the dividends is if the economy turns down and the companies don't do as well, they want to maintain that dividend. They don't want to cut that dividend. So instead of raising the dividend, they will take that extra cash and buy back stock in an effort to keep the stock price higher or prop it up. That has worked historically and has done very well historically, but I think investors today are looking at it maybe a little bit more with a jaundiced view, saying, well, if you've got all this cash, maybe you should return it to the shareholders in the way of dividends or invest it in plant and equipment as opposed to buying back stock.
And so, kind of along the lines of what you're saying, we used to be able to see a stock buyback as maybe a reason to buy the stock, as a good sign. You can't really look at it that way anymore?
I don't think so, because, again, we're seeing it from so many companies. It used to be that it was kind of a special thing. These companies would be buying back stock. What you don't know as a shareholder is how long does it take them to buy back stock. And when companies are sitting with very good cash flows, is generally when the stocks are already high, you don't tend to see a lot of stock buybacks when the markets are down. So March of 2009, companies were not buying back stock. They were hoarding their cash. So it tends to happen when the markets are doing very well. And again, as companies are trying to find places to use that extra cash, ultimately it winds up in the markets.
Thanks for joining us today. Paul Nolte, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Ahead, Travel Tuesday. The time is right to visit Europe.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. August is traditionally a good month to find the best summer value on flights to Europe. Let's see what's out there this year. We welcome Tracy Stewart, content editor for the airfare deal site, airfarewatchdog.com, based in Los Angeles. Tracy, it's not only this year, it's historically August is a good time to head to Europe.
Yeah, usually the sweet spot for a cheap fare to Europe is mid-August through late August, and even into September when the weather's still pretty warm and kids are getting ready to go back to school, that's when we see fares really drop a good bit.
And any of the airlines ever say why that is? I've heard that August is a big vacation month in Europe, so you figure it might be a little more expensive.
Yeah, well, this is especially true this year. Fares in general have been so cheap to Europe. That's because there have been so many great new budget airlines that have sprung up in the past few years, and they've really driven down fares on a lot of these routes.
Give us an example of an August fare and a July fare back-to-back.
Oh, gosh. So from Chicago, I saw earlier this morning Reykjavik, Iceland, 280 round trip. London for 20 round trip. In previous years, that would be more than double that.
In fact, if we look at Oslo, the average late summer price is $788. The peak summer price is $1,420.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
So is the best way to get this to go on the airline websites or to use other sites? I mean, if you want one of these deals, are they to be found all over the place or only in certain spots?
Yeah, these fares can pop up so last minute, so it's a good idea to sign up for fare alerts with sites like Google Flights and Airfare Watchdog. And it's important to remember a lot of sites don't track fares from all airlines, but Airfare Watchdog does. So if you sign up for a fare alert there, you're definitely getting a complete picture of what's available.
And you touched on discount airlines. Is that really where we're seeing the low fares, or are they causing us to see low fares even at some of the major airlines?
Yeah, they've definitely driven down fares across the board from even legacy carriers like United, Delta. They've had to drop fares to compete with these little upstart airlines.
Tracy,
so that's great for consumers.
It sure is. Thanks for all the information. Tracy Stewart is content editor for the airline deal site airfarewatchdog.com in Los Angeles. And join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, could the retail apocalypse be over?
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, occupancy rates at shopping centers and malls may be stabilizing after a very rough 2017. Now, let's talk with Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. And thanks for joining us today, Jan. A commentator on CNBC this morning said, in fact, the retail industry is stabilized. What do you think?
I think it's temporarily stabilized because we happen to be in the best consumer environment in the last 25 years. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to see record store closings this year, because we are. We've already had 4,200 announced. We will exceed last year's. We will see more bankruptcies in retailing than last year. But if what we're saying is, are things getting a little better in brick-and-mortar retailing? They are, because we've got 3.9% unemployment. We've got rising wages. We have more jobs than we have people looking for jobs. This is the first time in 25 years we've seen any of that. We also have the lowest tax rates for businesses and the lowest tax rates for individuals. So, yes, things are a little better. But God forbid that we should see a recession or even a slowdown in growth, because this retail change is far from over.
Well, and there has been some talk about possibility of a pullback in the economy, which right now is doing so well.
Well, someday we'll have a pullback in the economy. Or as Jamie Dimon said on CNBC the other day, will there be a slowdown? Yes. Is it going to be 2019, 2020, 2021? I don't know, but there will be a slowdown.
It's just, if you can figure it out, can you let me know ahead of time?
Exactly. That's where I am. But someday we will have a slowdown. And when we do, this retail apocalypse is clearly not over. I say all the time that by 2030, 50% of all non-bar, non-restaurant retail will be online. If that's true, we're going to close 10,000 stores a year for a while, and we're going to reconfigure about 400 enclosed malls. That hasn't happened yet. That still has to happen. So have we seen a brief hiatus here? Yes, we have. But one of the statements in that article this morning on CNBC was that, yes, things are getting better, but we're seeing shorter leases and we're seeing smaller spaces. That does not sound like a recovery. People want shorter leases because they think lease rates are not going up, and they want smaller spaces because they don't need as much space through brick-and-mortar retailing as they traditionally did.
For the
that
brick
sounds like a pause, not a recovery.
For the buildings that are going to remain, what about the other buildings that aren't going to have business going on?
Well, I think we're going to see a reconfiguration of a bunch of the malls. If there's 1,100 enclosed malls in America and 400 of them are on the bubble, then they will go through reorganization, i.e. bankruptcy, and then they'll come out doing something else. There'll be doctor's offices and soul cycles and yoga studios, but they don't generate the kind of revenues per square foot that a traditional retailer does, so they have to be different. It doesn't mean they're going to get bulldozed necessarily or that the space is going to go vacant, but it's not going to be in traditional retail. It's just like the new malls they're building. The ones that are happening have 60% non-retail in them. It's restaurants and entertainment and other venues, because we just don't have as much going into traditional brick-and-mortar retail as we used to have. And that's going to be the future. We're going to see more of it go online, and the things that survive at the brick-and-mortar level are going to be more non-traditional retail. They're not going to be just go in and buy a shirt. They're going to be entertainment. They're going to be food. They're going to be drinking establishments. They're going to be, I don't know, they're legalizing marijuana anywhere. There'll be dope smoking shops. I don't know what they'll be, but they won't be traditional retail as we know it.
Yeah, all kinds of experiences for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jan Rogers Niffen, thanks for being with us. CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Checking Wall Street, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco still in the green here. The Dow up 169 points. NASDAQ on the rise by 59. S&P up 19. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up almost 1%. Wall Street is cheering reports that the U.S. and China have agreed to work toward restarting trade talks. Those ubiquitous Heinz ketchup packets are on the way out. Kraft Heinz says it has a 7-year plan to develop recyclable or compostable alternatives to the foil and plastic packets. Other products getting a makeover include juice pouches and individually wrapped cheese slices. Kraft joins Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Nestle, and Colgate-Palmolive in setting a deadline for eco-friendly packaging. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.